Shocker, how you doing?
I'm doing well today, pal. How are you?
Outstanding.
Right on.
You do have
fun tonight.
Yeah, I would think so. You do have some extra business that you need to take care of.
Oh.
In that.
I don't like being blindsided here. What's going on?
Ray Ferraro. Bum
knee. That's not a good start.
He needs a piggyback up to the press box.
Oh, yeah. He's in bad shape, hey?
I know.
Like, really, like, don't show up to the morning skate, lay in bed and ice your knee kind of bad shape, hey?
Yes.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's a pretty light guy. I mean, I think I'd have a better chance of piggybacking him than he would have of piggybacking me.
People, by the way, you bid on the tickets. You don't text in. Steve has it at $250. For the tickets, it's a bid. Just to clarify that, you got a bid at it. It's for charity. So Steve has the opening one at $250. He's got some knee surgery, so he'll be hobbling around with Shog. He's not going to be working between the benches tonight. So we did volunteer you and Masters because we didn't think either one of you could carry him yourself, but maybe the two of you could take him together. Although he shot that down and said you two are both soft, that you wouldn't be able to get him up there.
Yeah, well, probably not. Not if we're carrying both Ray and his ego. If we can leave his ego downstairs, then we've got a fighting chance.
Toronto Maple Leafs resembling some Oiler rosters from 2010-11 tonight.
Holy smokes, eh? Looking to see what Byron Freeze can do tonight. Looking to see what, Colin Greening, you know, he was supposed to be a nice, big, powerful NHL player. He's having trouble establishing himself. Josh Levo. Rich Kloon is back in the league, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, you run down their roster, and it's like, holy smokes. I mean, they're not being shy about diving for the bottom, are they? Like, they're really just, they're making no bones about it. This is a ragtag NHL lineup. And it's all beat to heck, too. Guys are hurt. Guys are banged up. This should be a team the Oilers, coming off three straight losses, can absolutely feast on. Now, that means they probably won't, but it should be a team they can feast on.
Well, my God, if they can't feast on this team. Now, you have to match their work ethic, number one, right? And so these are guys that are desperate to stay in the NHL, try to make an impression. So if you match their work ethic, the Oilers clearly tonight, I don't think there's any argument, have more skill when you look at McDavid and Draisaitl up against their two centers and Hall and Eberle against their top wingers. Clearly there's more skill, and now it just comes down to will they have the work ethic.
Yeah, well, what does the leading point getter in the Leafs lineup have tonight? As I'm just looking at this, Komarov and 33 points?
Yep.
Pierre-Alex Parenteau is coming at you with his 13 goal. Like, they're way outgunning the Maple Leafs. And considering the fact they're coming in on three straight losses, probably a little grumpy about that, this should be a game where if they, like you say, you match their work ethic, they've got way more skill. I think Connor's going to have a big game tonight. I normally wouldn't bank on that and not like it's a real bold prediction, but I think Connor's going to be really good start to finish tonight. And I think we could see a pretty significant night from him.
That's kind of what I thought too. Like, just one of those, you know, it's hard for me to predict when guys are going to get 3 or 4 points because it's very hard to score in the National Hockey League. But
yep.
McDavid was quite excited about facing the Toronto Maple Leafs.
He was as giddy as he gets, hey?
Exactly. Like, I've never seen him that, and that's good. Like, he's a 19-year-old kid. He's loosening up. I think it's great. Like, that's the team he grew up cheering for. And, you know, the opportunity to face the Toronto Maple Leafs for the first time. Like, I'm sure when he goes into Toronto, it'll be even more. But to do it at home tonight, to get to face them, yeah, like, that's the most excited I've seen him before a game.
Yeah, and he was he was good. He talked about when he was a kid about the fact that his dad had made him a sweater, a McDavid Maple Leaf sweater.
Yep.
Talked about the fact that his room was kind of embarrassing, just the amount of stuff he had in his room. And just flat out is looking forward to this is the team he grew up, the logo he grew up idolizing, and it'll be a neat moment for him. And even his teammates, too. Like, Taylor talked today about the fact that, man, he knew how upset he was when he didn't have a chance to play against Crosby. And then when he didn't have a chance to play in Toronto, he knew Connor was rattled by that. So, yeah, he's got a little, he'll have a little fire in his step and a little as if it's possible for him to have more jump in his step. But I think he'll be excited. And You know, that line is the chemistry is it's coming. It started great. It's sort of died off a little bit. Todd talked today about how maybe they're trying to force the puck to Connor a little bit too much. I think they'll let it be a little bit more organic here. And but the chemistry is definitely coming, and the last change is going to help.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's helped them all year. They've actually been a very competitive team on home ice. I was crunching the numbers today, and 13th most points, but 12th best winning percentage right now. And you know what? When Todd McClellan gets the matchups he wants and their team seems to have way more confidence at home, they're successful. And when you combine the Maple Leafs beat down roster tonight, there's no reason to lose this game. None.
No, there isn't. And the thing about the Leafs, their better defensemen are pretty good skaters, right? Like Morgan Riley is a nice skater. Jake Gardner is a nice skater. And it'll be interesting to see how those guys who move pretty well manage against Taylor Hall and against Connor McDavid. They're not big, slow, shut-down guys. They're guys who are mobile and who can move really well. And sort of like we talked about against the Ottawa Senators, I like the defensive matchup of McDavid against that decor, and in particular against Carlson. I mean, it's an offensive defenseman who is okay in his own zone. Well, Morgan Riley, similar. He's an offensive defenseman, skates incredibly well, lots of offense in his game. He's becoming a decent defender, but they play him pretty big minutes, and I like that matchup if McDavid is out there against him a lot.
Ryan Rashog from TSN joins us. Ryan, what do you make of Lauren Brossoit? Do you think he gets one start? Do you think he gets more? And when do you think they start him?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't hesitate if I were Todd to throw him. And you got to wait and see kind of how you're doing. And if you're on a bit of a streak, then maybe you don't switch it up. But that Minnesota game is one I would eyeball. They play three games in five nights next week, and I know they have a couple of days rest heading into that, but I would probably throw him into one of those games. And then you eyeball the back-to-back, assuming that Nilsson's going to be down that long. I just don't like the idea of calling him up, having him with the team, and making him wait 2 weeks before he gets a start, or 10 days. I think if they're going to have him here, and if he's earned the opportunity, which Todd said today, he's earned the opportunity, I think you got to get him in somewhere. And it's not the end of the world for Talbot to miss one of those three starts next week. I would eyeball putting him in there. Like, Minnesota's not going to – they're not going to put 50 shots on you. Like, they're just not, right? So that's probably a good game to put him in.
Yeah, I – you know what? I don't have a problem with that either. I didn't – you know, some people thought tonight, but to me, it's too much pressure to put him in tonight. Again, a team that – like, it's rare that the owners are expected to win, right? I'm not sure that – because then if you lose, it's all of a sudden it's like, oh, it's on Lauren Brossoit. So I don't think – plus, the owners need a win. Right, like
yeah, they really do.
Like they, I know that you know a win only puts them to 29th instead of 30th. But the, you know, this team on home ice, they got to get on a roll here and at least finish the season with a semblance of competitiveness and some success that maybe big question, big word, maybe they can work on it into next season.
It's funny, like with the Toronto media here in town and the Oilers and the Leafs so far down in the standings. But if you talk to some of the folks in the Toronto media, and they're all good people, I'm kind of having a little bit of fun here with them, but they're all just resigned to the fact the Oilers are winning the draft lottery. Like, they're just basically, I mean, they're looking at who's going to be second, third, fourth over. It's just, if they're going up against the Edmonton Oilers on the day the ball drops, they just, it's a foregone conclusion that it'll be the Oilers again. And a lot of them are so sour about it that they're already bitter about the fact that the Oilers are this bad again and going to be in the mix and going to win the draft lottery again.
Yeah, like, man, like Edmonton, I don't think Edmonton.
Can you imagine?
Oh, no. I don't think Edmonton finishes bottom three. So I think then their chances are down to like 8%. I could see the Oilers not winning the first one, but I could see them winning like the second or third one. But I don't see them winning to move up to number one.
Yeah. I mean, we'll see where they finish, and it's a long shot. But, I mean, the extent to which this McDavid thing killed people in Toronto and hockey fans in Toronto, and, I mean, this was you can just tell by the reaction when it happened how that was a tough one for hockey people out there to swallow, and now the Leafs are going up against Connor McDavid and the Oilers, and just brings all that. And now here they are in 30th place, and Austin Matthews on the mind, and yet just feeling like Edmonton's going to find a way to steal that from them.
Yeah, well, boo-hoo, boo-hoo, Cantelia Oilers fans, after all the I was looking at the numbers. Over the last 7 years, Ryan, when you look at missing the playoffs, because the Leafs and Oilers will both miss 10 out of 11 years when they miss this year, and they're both missing. In their last seven playoff misses, the Oilers have averaged a finish of 27th place, which is terrible, and the Leafs have averaged 25th. Like, these are the two most inept organizations since the Bettman-Goodenow lockout. And, you know, the Oilers are at least probably a step ahead as far because of McDavid of turning it around and getting back to the playoffs. But still have a long way to go.
No, I mean, the Oilers are significantly further ahead in turning it around just by virtue of the personnel they have. I mean, Toronto's still in that phase where they're shipping good players out of town, never mind turning around and bringing a whole bunch back in. Like, the Oilers have added a bunch of good players, whether it's from drafting high or, you know, whatnot, but Toronto's still, they're still in the cleansing phase of all of this. They're a ways off. Now, people down in Calgary witnessed it happen pretty quickly, but I don't know that this Toronto roster sets up to do something similar. I think it's going to take them some time, man. They're really cleaning house.
Yeah, which... that was the biggest mistake Edmonton made, was they got rid of all their veterans and had no veterans that could play to protect their young players. And that's what's killed them now for the last 7 years.
Yeah, I think that definitely had a toll, you know, in particular on the blue line. And you know, they could have used a good offensive forward who knew the league, knew how to be in the league as an offensive player, somebody that could have, you know, that Taylor Hall or Jordan Eberle could have looked at and thought, okay, that guy's been there. And where those guys didn't have to be the guy every single night, you know, whether it's like I think Colorado had brought in Tanguay or Ginla or other teams that have these young stars generally, you know, I mean, even with Vinny LeCavalier or Marty St. Louis, those guys for Stamkos in Tampa. I do agree that some of these Oilers high-end forwards have suffered a little bit not having that guy in town ever.
Well, no, not having competent defensemen, right? That's, to me, half the battle.
Yeah, too, for sure.
Just have some competent players. Because look at the Leafs. So let's say they get to Austin Matthews. Who's their defense next year?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Matt Hunwick's your top pair defenseman, guess what? You're a 30th place team.
Yeah, you're in some trouble for sure.
Yeah.
Although, who knows? Maybe Austin Matthews and Steven Stamkos will be enough to draw some people to, you know, not that the free agent crop is that good, but maybe that'll be more of a draw for them.
Oh, it might be a draw all they want, but there's no free agent defensemen that are big names out there. Goligoski and Demers, and Dallas isn't going to let both of them go. They're going to get one of them signed for sure. So you just, like, there's really no free agent crop out there, and you can have all the cap space in the world. If you can't get competent players, it doesn't matter, and that's the mistake the Oilers have made, and I see the Leafs going down the same route.
Well, and a lot of the Leafs' core group, like when they were remotely competitive there and made the playoffs, a lot of those players, they end up signing to contracts that make it so that they're just trying to get rid of them. They weren't able to bring a lot back asset-wise to try and improve. It's more about immovable objects for contracts. And it was a mistake the organization made, some of these deals. So now, rather than move players while they still had value and try and turn that corner a little bit back then, just give long-term deals to these guys and then end up just thankful that you were able to get rid of them, let alone getting anything in return for them.
Schauger, we'll see you at the rink. Good luck piggybacking Ferraro up to the press box.
Yeah, I'm going to go find him right now, and we'll see how he's doing. I'm sure he'll be mumbling and grumbling and complaining about something when I find him.
Well, Oilers fans are wondering what will take longer, Ferraro to get up the stairs or Sather to go down. So ask him that one.
Well, if I'm carrying Raid, it'll probably be pretty close to the same.
Please carry him on a piggyback, and please, Oilers fan, get a video of it. Thank you very much.
I wonder if I drop him down the stairs if I'll get to do color tonight.
I was just going to say, man, a little sabotage for you. Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, well, career opportunities, right? Sometimes you got to be proactive in making it happen.
Got to do it. All right, well, take care easy. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
You're welcome.